Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 30 of season 2 of That Roundup Podcast.
Wow.
What are we up all the time? Like a million? 200?
We had like episode 80 something. We had like 50, yeah. I think, something last year.
Dang. So I'm Mike White, alongside Scott Beeks and Thomas Pichad.
Classic. Yes, Thomas Pichad. Thomas Rannet.
Yeah, it reminds me of, is this insensitive? Reminds me of like a Pokemon sound, like Pichai! Like a little cry.
It's always, that's why I'm just saying,
Tops. Thomas, Tommy. Okay, Tommy today. Tommy, Scotty, and Mikey. We're going through, we did that round of podcast awards. It's the end of the season. We're winding down. It's getting cold outside. I got my heat on today in the apartment. We asked you all on Instagram for nominations, and we are going to talk through those nominations today, discuss it a little bit, maybe add some more. And then from this, either the exact kind of list we're talking through on the podcast, or maybe we'll edit it a little bit after, some form of these nominations, we will have you, the listeners, vote on Instagram to crown these award winners. So, yeah,
and we're discussing these award winners next week.
And next week, we'll discuss the winners and talk. Like, well, you guys better give the right answers, because we'll be upset if you don't.
Oh, yeah. We will definitely judge also.
Yeah. So that's it. So we got a lot. We have, let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I know there's another 6 of the same type. So that pre-exists 12. And then we got 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 awards here. 18. New page. So we had 18 awards. We're going to go through, hopefully, a quick app, just talking through some things, some repeat, and maybe just give some context before you vote on this. But you're probably just going to vote with your gut anyway, so probably doesn't even matter what we think. And that's it, boys. Anything else before we get into it?
No, that's the end of the episode. We're just going to do polls now and see.
Mike, yep. Tweet on the Instagram, guys. Talk to you later.
No,
all right, we're going to start.
This is going to be fun.
First category, team of the year on the women's side. And we got the three T's people nominated. We got tiramisu. That's a top three dessert. Twins, that's a top three number of siblings. And Towerful, that's just a top two team. So team of the year, those are the big three. What do you guys think? You unbiased.
Where's K2?
I'm kidding. K2 is not in there. That's a great question. They will come up in a different category, but not here.
Yep. None of them surprised me. Obviously, tiramisu getting stronger as the season went on, ended up winning via ETS Vienna as well as Euros, and then getting fourth place in the end at the championship. So a good season, a very good season. Twins, of course, three-peat, winning every tournament they played together in the women's category.
Except for one.
Except the big one that we're going to discuss later in Salt Lake City. And then Towerful, of course, Ronja Lauda, winning plenty of tournaments together.
I think Tiramisu and Towerful are going to get a lot of votes. Unbiasedly, I think Great Twins is the easy answer with that championship win, especially with all of them being there. I hope our strong European voter doesn't make it. So someone else was, I think, actually a split between Tiramisu and Towerful, where sure, Twins will win anyway.
The beauty of that in regards to our listeners is that we have, they're like statistically, when we listen, but when I look back to the statistics of the episode, we actually have 50% US listeners. And then the other 50% is then split up into about 10% Canadian listeners. And then 40% or about 35% European listeners, and the other 5-10% makes up the rest of the world, other countries, Brazil, yeah. India, yeah, I think it was Russia, but anyway, like rest of the world, yeah. Countries. So it should be a good split in regards to just in a pretty even demographic anyway.
Yeah, I think it's funny because like if we looked at it like before the championship, it'd be like these three are definitely the three teams of the year, and then Twins won. So I think that'll go that way, and I think that's like, we'll see on the men's side in a second that it's not always who won the championship who's team of the year. I mean, the voters might go that way, but I think here is a little more cut and dry, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they didn't play earlier in the year, at least Twins and the Europeans. I think if they played more over the season, let's say Towerful was like 2-1, but lost the championship, okay, maybe Towerful gets it. But because they didn't play all season, it's different, right? Besides K2 and Twins. Yeah. Thomas, Tommy.
For the special nomination, I would also think it's going to be Twins because Tiramisu and Towerful, like Tiramisu had really a step up in the last few plays of the season, like last ETS really strong, or also in the European championships. And Towerful also, as you said, like if they would have played the full season like on together, it would be different. But Tiramisu, the game, the last few points of the season, and Twins were overall really strong. So did take some.
Yeah. We need to one, like, between you two, who do you think is the team of the year between Towerful and Tiramisu?
For me, it's Tiramisu because of the last, like, I saw them at Euros, and that was really convincing. Like, yeah, overall, I would at the moment.
Yeah, team of the year. Yeah, I'd have it as Tiramisu too. Euros, like the weight of the event matters a lot, obviously. Mm-hmm. And with them winning the European Championship, which is that they were more important than the ETS events. Yeah, that sort of edges it for me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Next one.
It'll in here, so we have it women's, men's. I think we should just go and talk through all the women's awards. I think that would make the most sense. I think that makes sense. So here, like, we kind of talked about it. Team performance of the year.
Yep.
So a couple we talked about, we had Tiramisu at Euros.
Yep.
We have Twins at the SCS Championship. And then we have K2, Katie DeLara at Salt Lake City, where they won and beat Twins.
Easy dub.
What do you guys
K2,
think here?
SLC, sorry. Easy. I mean, if you put
K2,
as impressive, like, the Twins three-peat at the championship, it's a three-peat. Like, it's very, like, impressive. They've done it three times in a row, again, against a harder field than the previous 2 years. And Tiramisu winning in Padova. Also, Vienna was incredible, but Padova, particularly that event, like, really impressive. But if you're beating a team that hasn't dropped a set in 2 years, then our major.
Right.
And you have only been part of a team for, like, one or two, three tournaments prior to that. I think it's got to go to K2.
And like Lava traveled to the US, especially for this event. I think that was a massive success, like also for Europeans overall. So I would say performance of the year would be K2.
I'm curious where the listeners could go, because like Twins at the SCS Championship is like classic, like you won the championship. Towerful and Tiramisu, people were hyping them up. They beat them, especially that finals, that clutch finals, right? Right. Oh, they beat one of them. You're right. And then, but like Tiramisu at Euros, everyone is going hype with that performance. But I think the same thing is like Twins or another team can be the team of the year. And you could recognize that like the one time where they were beat, that other team had the performance of the year. So like K2 at Salt Lake City also makes sense there. But I'm curious to see where the vote goes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right. Here, a little similar, breakout team of the year. And again, breakout team is always kind of hard to define what is a breakout team, but I'm going to list the four that we got the most kind of input on. How do you pronounce it? Push and dives. Tiramisu, Royalty, and Towerful.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think like it's so hard to judge. My answer is Pushes and Dives because I think like they tailed off a little at the end of the year, but I think like overall at the start of this season, if you told me like these teams with these players, like they probably over exceeded expectations compared to others. That'd be my thought. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I think it's like, again, a breakout. It's like, what do you define as a breakout? For me, as a breakout team is a team going way and above and beyond the expectations set on them at the start of the season and not being relatively one of the favorites at the start of the season. So you already don't have like the absolute favorites in there to begin with. But it's again when a team over succeeds, and I think Push and Dives is definitely a very good candidate in that category. I think all the others, sort of Tiramisu, they did better than expected, and Towerful did about as expected, I think. Royalty did about as expected, I think. Maybe a little bit better than expected. So I think the ones that made the biggest leap in regards to what was expected than prior was Push and Dives, Natasha and Ines from Toulouse film.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of difficult because Push and Dives like also were performing well, very well last year, like always kind of a top level. But this season, they always played for kind of top three.
Yeah, but the other ones I feel like were kind of, you know, already established, or you would know that they would perform very well. So yeah, I would also go for Piston Dives, but it's not an easy choice. I feel like I'm looking forward to what the crowd is going to say about it.
All right, moving on. Player of the year. The kind of votes probably expected. Lara, the noms from the community. Lara, Danny, Megan, Ellie, and Olivia. For me, it's kind of hard to think about player of the year. It's a challenge. It's challenging here.
For me, it's kind of. For me, it's.
I mean, my yeah, yeah. I have an answer, but
Lara, because she was able to win so many titles with a lot of different partners, being able to win a major with a partner that she didn't play with a lot beforewards. I feel like I need to say Lara because she adapts really well also to her team partners.
I'm throwing this out there. You're saying it plays well with loads of different partners, and I agree that Lara did have a very good year and won a lot of tournaments with a lot of different partners. But Olivia also won another major with a different partner. That needs to be taken into consideration. She also, if we're now going and breaking out from women's, and we're also talking about co-ed, she also beat Lara two times.
She also won two majors and won two majors.
Yeah, so won two majors and won... Yeah, and won those majors in co-ed with a different partner.
And second place at the championship.
Yeah, second place at the championship with Will. So I think it's very hard to look past Olivia as well, given that she also did it in the... I mean, Lauda also won her fair share of co-ed divisions, but they weren't majors.
Well, you can't blame Lara for picking Clark. Like, that's not her fault.
Hey,
he's a handsome guy. Like, I'd pick him too, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. Hard to say no when Clark Marshall comes knocking.
Clark Marshall wants to play with you, you know? She didn't know he was going to be a dud.
But no, I think given that, I think Olivia also has a great CV for this year because of winning again with the... She also won a major with a different partner and also managed to do it in the co-ed division at majors and at the championship, beating Lauda in two of the majors in Salt Lake City with Will, and also beating her in the championship with Will. So, and I think, to be honest, I also, on this list, like, obviously they're all very fairly on this nomination list, Ali, Megan, Danny. I also would put up Danny up there just on the fact of her individual performances at Tiramisu's wins. Like, if you remember Vienna and also Padova, Danny was hitting like 5-6 back-to-back aces and like taking those games almost single-handedly. I don't want to say that because it's team sport, of course. However, she played unbelievably well in some really important moments. So,
yeah. Hey, well, I'm going to use that as a jumping off point. Our next is individual performance of the year. We have Danny at Euros, maybe some other places. Lara at SLC, Salt Lake City. Sachi at College Nationals. Sarah at Mixed Pro, which, you know, not necessarily if we want to put that in because it's mixed, but like that was the big thing.
Shout. Yep.
It's funny. I don't know if people put this in, but I had like Olivia or Ali question mark. And I think that's like the hard thing where like they're both so good that it's like, did they have that strong individual performance? I do think that Olivia had a really strong performance at the championship as well. But that's kind of an interesting thing that we always see with twins, which is like they're both so good that it's like, the individual performance isn't always notable. You don't always see like a strong individual performance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do y'all think there? Anything notable? I think we're going to have to figure out offline. We could add more than like, I don't know how many noms we can have. Cause like we might have to even do like
we'll do four.
Bracket.
We have
like,
to narrow down to four.
I know. So yeah.
Yeah. For me, as Scott will said before, also Danny at the Euros was insane. Like I think six aces or something in a row. Was pretty strong and that was really convincing. I mean, I didn't see College Nationals, so I can't really tell.
Yeah,
but Laura at SEL also, but I feel like Danny at Euros is just a safe pick.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
All tough, yeah, all very good. Like, again, Sarah, like, Gabe and Sarah definitely not favorites for the mixed championship coming in. So yeah, her performing so well in the final, Lauda again like spearheading that result in Salt Lake City with Katie against twins. Yeah, Sachi at College Nationals, which I also managed to see some of. Just yeah, it's all very good nominations. It'll be really interesting to see what people vote.
The last women's kind of award here actually mentioned here. So this is breakout individual women's. So breakout player of the year women's. Someone here that was mentioned a lot was Malia, who was also nominated from some people for individual performance of the year college nationals. So Malia, I believe, right, based on the doc, it was her first tournament, and they won every single series that day, including beating Saatchi. So that's, of course, one individual performance of the year, super high. Also, but like, I think a nice nom for breakout individual women's player. We also have Maddie Morehouse, who participated in well, a lot of tournaments this year. And then Laurence Vallee, who played with on Royalty with Katie Pearson. There are also like many just like single knobs. So we might have to do some deciphering to find some more. But those were like the big three that came up multiple times.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm adding Innes to that list. Like, yeah. Innes has to be added to that list. If the breakout team that we sort of went on think that Push and Dives is up there, I think Natasha and Innes both had good seasons, obviously, because we're putting them in as sort of well, definitely a nomination for a breakout team of the year. And I think Innes, even though she did well last year and came onto the scene quite a bit, I think her performance this year definitely is a very good nomination for breakout for women's. But there's a lot of women's that definitely, yeah, did better and did better than expected this year. It's just like, yeah, what criteria do you have in regards to how much is that expectations above your initial expectation? All of these nominations that we mentioned definitely did go above and beyond that. Because I think No Hype or Maddie and Malia, I think they got like the fifth seed or fourth seed, I believe, total in the women's pro division based on points and results. So, I mean, yeah, tough. It'll be interesting again to see what people vote for that one for sure.
Yeah, so we'll, I also think we can probably, what?
Sorry, I think we need to
Thomas?
Speed up a little. Yes.
We need to speed up because Scott needs to go and you don't want just me and Tommy doing this. So we're going to go back. We have all of those same ones, but on the men's open side. Team of the year. This is the one I'm kind of excited about. We have three big noms, and then I put the fourth in there. I don't think they're going to win, but they were put in there by a lot of people. Kingdom Come, STS Championship winners, but notable, didn't win much else. Rogue won everything except for Columbus and the championship, but was our number one team for majority of the year. Another team in here that got a lot of hype this year, and I think you're going to get a lot of votes. I can't pronounce it. ES. Thomas, can you say the nice...
Eisenträger Sima.
Yeah, beautiful. And then lastly is In System, who was the number one team according to you know, Roundout Worlds. Roundout Works power rankings after they beat... won the Columbus Major. For me, it's going to be between Kingdom Come and Rogue, and it's going to come down to how much do you weigh the season versus the championship, which I think we talk about like every year on this. Yeah. So I went on like a rant about it last year with like assisted touch versus double clutch, right? So yeah, I think that'll be an interesting one. I personally think Kingdom Come is just going to get it because people are going to be like championship winners, bang, put them in. But I think it's a more.
I don't. I think most people will probably vote for Rogue, especially regarding to the nominations we got. I think a lot of them, the majority, were Rogue nominations. So we'll see. I think ES would have it hands down if it was just European. But given it's international, they're going to struggle.
Now, Benny and Nelson.
And then In System, of course, worthy also to be on that list. The first team to take down Rogue.
I would say, in my opinion.
He's just a fanboy. Next award.
Yeah. Fanboy. From the start.
Team performance. I mean, so this team performance of the year, like the number one on is Kingdom Come at the championship. Again, I think that's going to win. But there are three other like very notable performances. And there were some others. But the three I put down was, again, U.S.-based. Akron at College Nationals. We saw the round network on ESPN. Like, they showed up, took everyone down, and played super, super well. I think that's a worthy performance. But I don't know why that was in. I guess technically it is. 7 out of 10 players are men on the team, so maybe it could be considered a men's performance, or even just J-Bar and Grant, but that's a notable kind of big result. In System at Columbus, we just talked about, like, that was huge. Taking that and taking the first major that Rogue did not win, that they attended. But the last one, I think, is also pretty big. Ryder Riva and Matt Cole, Salt Lake City, beating Judgment Day, beating In System, Just had a crazy awesome day. Like, that was a super high performance. So I think the real answer is, like, Matt Cole is awesome. But I mean, I don't see a way in which Kingdom Come of the Championship doesn't win, because that was just such a performance.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, tough. Oh, again, good candidates. Yeah,
story-wise, it was Ryder and Matt, because Ryder is just saying, hey, I don't play a lot of tournaments, but when we play, we win.
Yeah, ridiculous. So,
sorry.
I'm just keeping going. There are a lot of kind of noms here. We're not going to put this team in, but it's so notable about, like, what is the breakout team, because someone has Rogan here. And it's like, yeah, you maybe didn't expect them to be the number one team for the majority of the year. So, like, that could be breakout, but not. There's the Prince, which I think is super notable. Team from Quebec, made Pro Division. Profit Boost, same thing. Again, start of the season, like, you maybe could have thought Pro Division order, but I think they outperformed and did really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Critical Hit, I think that's a super big pick. Like, I think people maybe thought lower... right, lower Pro Division team, and then, you know, second place at Philadelphia, second place to the championship. I don't think people really expected that.
Yeah.
Especially with J-Bar not being in the Pro Division last year. And then we have Eisenberg Seamer, which I think that's a good pick for a breakout team. And then Willy Wonka,
German team. They played also in German nationals, and we're really close against them. Strong team, very, very, very entertaining team. I think a lot of people know them, and a lot of people will pick them if we have them in our poll.
So we shouldn't have them, right? Okay. It's hard. I think I don't know, like, exactly maybe where we'll pick the four of those five there. Breakout team is a hard category.
Yeah, that's very true. For me, it's Eisenträger Seamer, not a breakout team. I feel like the last season they were performing well, but they did have some issues with, you know, some hurting themselves or getting corona in very unpleasant situations. But
we have to remember that we're viewing this from, like, a international perspective. So even if they were, like, playing a lot of teams in Germany and still at sort of the top of Germany at the time, they weren't really on top of the international scene as much as they have been. I mean, again, unbeaten in Europe this year at ETS events, not STS because the major was there, but in ETS events.
Yeah.
And then also going to the championship, qualifying for pro, performing well in group play before being knocked out to Bothaus.
We have three more on the men's side. Player of the year. We get five major noms. Ryan Marino.
Well, I just want to quickly shout out breakout team we didn't mention, Bothaus. I'm surprised no one nominated them.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
definitely weren't expected to get pro at the start of the year. Like, could it be there? Like, was higher premier, wasn't maybe expected to get pro, but got pro and then ended up getting to the last eight T5ing. So, yeah, Bothaus question mark.
Sorry, I'm going to continue. Player of the year, Ryan Marino, Blake Bozak, Matt Cole, Grant Klapwick, and Vinny. I was about to say Vinny Bonta, who is a long time back Ohio player. Yeah, this is an interesting one here. I think, like, Matt Cole, Grant Clamp both have a case for it with the championship win. Matt Cole with the other major win. Grant Clamp with the championship win, college nationals win. Obviously, Marino or Thomas Hamilton could be in there with Rogue's incredible season and Marino's, like, individual performances with some, like, comebacks in Philadelphia, etc. But I also think, like, Blake and Vinny, you're also super notable, and they're just super impactful players in their big games that had, like, kind of breakout seasons. Not breakout, but, like, again, I think talking about In-System and Critical Hit probably outperformed what some people maybe thought, thanks to them. Yeah. Any others in mind? Probably Benny.
No, I think those guys are a little bit of separation from the rest. I think if you go to, like, the next pack, then there's loads of players you could name, like, yeah. Gabe, Fred, Will, obviously in his mixed co-ed division as well, how well he's done there. Like, there's a lot of players. Thomas would also be in that as well. Like, there's so many players you could put. I think we've got a good top five, all in those categories. People nominated good names. I think any of those five could win it.
So, two more for men's. This one is similar to what we just said, which is individual performance of the year. So I think, like, going through what we just said, Ryan Marino at Richmond was nominated, especially the start of the year strong performance. Blake Bozak at Columbus, getting that major win. Matt Cole and Ryder both at Salt Lake City, right? Super strong performance. We had, of course, Grant Clapwick at the championship, probably the winner. But another one in here, we don't really know, you know, maybe we'll put this in, but Gabe Finocchi in the mixed pro finals. Like, that was a hell of a performance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Individual performance.
Or honestly, just mixed pro, not just mixed pro finals, just mixed pro in general. Like, that was unbelievable. Yeah. So we'll get that down to four. We'll see. And then the last one, breakout individual of the year for men's. I think we'll have to decide on different noms. I think Maria was put in there. I think, like, that probably is valid in my mind because, like, he was pro last year, but they made round of 16, didn't have a crazy amount of, or sorry, might not have been round of 16, might have been round of 8, don't quote me, with him and Patrick Chu on Creamy, but I don't think many predicted him to be the one of, if not the best player of the year. We also have Paul Seymour from Eisenhower Seymour. And Kieran Rose on Profit Boost, right, making it into pro division. We also had a nomination for both of the Prince brothers on the Prince, as well as Justin Barr, which I think I mentioned earlier, like critical hit, especially like people knew how good Vinny was, but I don't think the impact of Justin was as expected. Yeah. Any additional thoughts there?
I think like individuals of the year, it would be, from my guess, would be Paul Seymour or Ryan Marino, because Ryan's just started the season off really, really strong. And Paul overall really consistent last 2 years, I feel like, and stepped up serving game a lot. So yeah, I see those two kind of fighting for the number one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry for going quick. We're on a tighter schedule today. We want to get through these all. We have four left, and one of them didn't have any a lot of noms, so I'm going to save that for the end, and we can talk about it. I'm going to start with best series of the year. I think there were some good nominations, right? Both of the championship finals I'll say all three championship finals might deserve to be nominated. Twins, powerful, super intense, especially that very, very late game one. Rogue. Oh, I'm so confused. I can't read prep, please. There's a Rogue critical hit at the championship. I think I wrote that and I was wrong. So Kingdom Come critical hit at the championship. The finals, very intense. Also brought in there, we're going to have to decide, was Kingdom Come versus Judgment Day, which is also a great series, or Kingdom Come Rogue, not as exciting because they kind of ran with it at the end. But great. Matt Cole, Ryder Riva versus In System in Salt Lake City. K2 versus Twins with KS2 win. And many others here. Do you think there's some other that are notable? There was kind of a long list of nominations.
Yeah, there are a lot of different series. But K2 versus Twins, I never got in a game like screenshots in the middle of a night when someone played. So attention-wise, it was K2 against Twins, because we also stayed up. We were all, everybody was watching that game and saying, oh God, come on, let's go.
I think we were all in McDonald's at the time getting a 3 a.m. meal while watching the final on our phones. Like 10 people crowd around each phone. Yeah.
Insane. The good
match. I meant to say, I think like the mixed pro finals was so crazy and intense with Gabe's comeback and serves and everything. So that might be in here. Scott probably has the hard job of deciding the four, and he'll get some input from us, but we'll see, because a lot of good ones. Going back, we also have best crowd of the year. And the good thing is I wasn't at any events. So I'll just read what some people put in. The Canadians in Columbus, sure, were going crazy for In System, as well as Vinny. We had the Swiss at Euros. I didn't hear about, but there were a lot of noms for the Swiss at Euros. There was the European crowd in Toulouse, which I'm sure was everyone rooting against Assistive Touch, if that's the case, and against Vinny, maybe. And the last one, which I think was hype from the start of the year, was the ASL playoff finals, where we saw that great clip of the they thought it was an ace and they got it back and the big crowd. So all pretty good.
Best crowd wise, I can only speak for the events where I was. Swiss at Euros was crazy, but European crowd in Toulouse, overall, the hype of the first major in Europe was so big and everybody was just really, really on a good mood. I feel like it has to be Toulouse. It was just a great event. And I think also the everybody that was there, also the Hilltop guys and Assistive Touch can also say yes. Mm-hmm. That was my humble opinion, my opinion.
All right, we have two more. Innovation of 2023. Our three noms we got were Premiere Spike. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a new set. Round Network doing the documentaries and coverage on their YouTube page and the ESPNU. And then we have the American Spikers League and the American Spikers League Championship, which is at the start of the year, and they're working on their next one. All think very notable and also very different, which I think is like pretty cool. Like three big innovations in different ways. No more on that. I'm going to talk to our last one. Guys, it was a RoundNet Community Award. Kind of like, you know, a person or a group, etc. We got a lot of noms, but we didn't have many repeats. Did you guys have any special ones you think deserved a nom? Or are we going to maybe just have to do some brainstorming after the fact here? Or scrap and say there was no one. No one really deserves it.
The get-go is that difficult.
There was a nice, there was a nomination for, I think, Thomas Pachad.
Okay, I take that. Thank you.
Scott, yeah, it's a tough one, right? A tough one, but an important one. I mean, any names I say is just biased to my own personal experiences that I had throughout the year. And I don't want that to then now affect potentially everyone who's listening to the podcast. But I mean, two names that stick out for me when I think RoundNet Community is Amelie, who's working on the Euroboard with myself and just does countless hours on and off the court for RoundNet and for, you know, bigger, greater picture of RoundNet. And then Benny, because everyone knows Benny Backler. He is a perfect example. I mean, Levy Vandeley as well is also an incredible name to put out there that just, yeah, makes you feel good. You want to hang around them. They take every part of like that RoundNet community in with what they do and where they go. So yeah, they would be sort of my three big nominees. But I mean, if you gave me more time, I'm sure I could come up with loads. But yeah, they're big names that stick out, make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, I can only say, yeah, I'm 100% behind the words you've just spoken. And I don't have, yeah, it's difficult. I mean, there are a lot of different cool people, different hardworking people for the sport. Yeah, I'm kind of overwhelmed with the question because there are so many people that come to mind for like being really, really valuable for the sport. Yeah. Mike is just taking a walk.
I'm in the background. My dog wanted to play. So we were playing tug of war and then I fell. I lost my footing. So I'm glad I had the virtual background so you guys didn't see that. And I'm out of breath now too. What? You see me fall? Because I fell.
We could just see the background shift. But yeah, on that note, we should conclude the episode there. Mike, if you want to take it away and let people know what's the plan and what the next episode is going to happen, episode 30.
So we are going to think about these noms a little more, narrow them down to four for each. We're going to share them on the That Roundup Podcast Instagram. You can vote on who you think the winner will be or should be. Next week, we will go through and announce those winners, as well as maybe talk about some other things, because we kind of already talked about them again today. So we'll see what we can cook up for next week. Let them cook, Scott.
Thank you guys for listening. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Tops, bottoms, and middles. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.